What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. Hello, what's up, you guys? And welcome to episode number 8 of the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks. So excited that you're here today, taking the time out of your day to listen. If you're new here, I'm a mental health advocate, coach, and athlete aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. Thanks again for tuning in. Today, I will be discussing a topic that really is super close to my heart. If you are a new podcast listener or you're an avid listener, I just want to kind of go over the goal again one more time of why I started this podcast and what it means to me. So if you listen to the very first episode of this podcast, it was titled Welcome to the Curls and Courage Podcast. Definitely check that episode out, you know, for a little bit more detail if you'd like. But I really talked about why I started this podcast and what the goal of it was and the struggles that I've been through that's really led me to want to come on here and just speak to you guys and hopefully give you a little bit of knowledge and inspiration and teach you, you know, how much physical and mental health truly is important. So one more time, that's the goal. And that's what we're about to jump into topic-wise. You'll kind of get why I'm saying this. But the goal of the Curls and Courage podcast is to teach you how to optimize your physical and mental health, as well as bring you inspiration from my personal struggles of, you know, bad mental health in the past and my relationship with fitness and nutrition and self-worth and so many things among that, you know, kind of realm. So make sure you listen to this episode because it's one that is a little bit more difficult for me to talk about, but it's one that I truly feel confident can bring a lot of value to you or friends in your life or people that you truly care about. So I want you guys to just start by asking yourself a couple of questions and be honest, be vulnerable, be real. How are you truly feeling? You know, are you stressed? Are you unhappy? Do you feel moody? Do you find it hard to relate to others? Are you in a position to where you're constantly isolating yourself? Are you in a state of anxiety, depression, or any other mental health condition? If you answered yes to any of these questions, this podcast could really be a good resource for you. So not only has exercising and discovering a passion for fitness helped me from a physical standpoint, but it's also helped me tremendously from a mental standpoint. And what I mean by that is not to say, oh yeah, let's just go out and exercise and your depression's going to be healed, because that's definitely not the thing. But I can promise you, if you're facing any challenge in life mentally, which we all go through mental struggles, whether it's severe or whether it's just the daily struggles of a little bit of anxiety or feeling stressed or again, feeling moody, I can promise you that exercising on a regular basis will help you feel at least 1% better. This information in which you're about to receive is going to give you a whole new perspective on physical fitness. For the past 7 or so episodes, we've talked about a series on how to approach and follow through with your 2024 goals. Last week's episode was all about how you can overcome the obstacle of what you should do if you're unsure of what to do in the gym. So we went over how to design a training split. We went over how to find the right exercises for your body. We went over, you know, why rest days are important and how to structure a training plan. So make sure to check that out if you missed it. But today we're switching it up. We're not doing any type of series. We're going down to the detail of how exercise affects you mentally and truly why this is even important. So I want to start with the concept of, you know, what is mental health? What does that truly mean? Mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. This is important because it affects how we think, how we feel, and how we act. It also determines how we handle stress, relate to others, and make healthy choices. And this is, of course, not from the words of my mouth, but getting this from research. What is the medical definition of this? So I want to share a brief, you know, description of what my mental health has looked like over the past couple of years and how it's truly been a journey. And of course, I don't need to spill my guts on this podcast, but I do want to give you an inside scoop just so you can actually relate and know that you're not alone when you're not feeling so hot every single day. So when I was younger, I never struggled with mental health at all. And I'm 22 years old right now. So when I say when I was younger, I mean just all throughout my high school year, all throughout growing up, I had an amazing childhood. it wasn't really until several months after moving into Miami where I really started to think about my mental health because it became such a problem. I had really bad anxiety disorder. I had a really bad panic disorder. I had a really bad problem with depression. I isolated myself all the time. I really just didn't feel like myself for months upon end. And it was a very, very challenging journey. And really, I would say the number one thing that got me through, you know, aside from my faith and family, of course, was physical fitness. Making sure that I had a purpose every single day to go into the gym and to make myself better, to stay healthy cardiovascular wise, and to also stay healthy, you know, muscle wise, putting on skeletal muscle mass and staying active. That really helped me in a hormonal way, in a psychological way. And of course, I want to reiterate, these are still some struggles that I currently go through. Not that I'm 100% healed from all these problems, but I am doing significantly better, enough to where I can at least open up and share about it. But this is something that's a constant battle. When you have problems with your mental health, it's not like there's any magic fix, but there are certain things and certain protocols you can do every single day that definitely will help and that you have to make it a priority yourself to keep up. Again, the main problems that I felt like that I have faced in my life would be mental health conditions such as anxiety, depression, and obsessive compulsive disorder. So I want to go into those three topics and discuss how fitness has changed my perspective on these conditions and actually made me feel better from a psychological standpoint, not just the way that I looked or, you know, physique based or anything like that. And if you're someone who struggles with any mental health conditions, again, this will be really interesting for you to learn because I did a lot of research based on this podcast too. And just from personal experience, I know these things, but also just seeing the research behind it is pretty extensive and it's pretty miraculous, to be honest with you. So listen up, you know, if this is something that you struggle with, I really hope that it helps. Again, and or if you know someone who's going through these conditions, you know, make sure that you share this podcast with them because it could really help them. So let's hop into the first point, which would be anxiety. You know, everyone has a normal amount of anxiety in life. It's pretty normal to feel a little bit anxious about something, but when it actually affects the way that you show up for others, maybe in a relationship, maybe at work, maybe in, you know, just your daily life, it's hard, you know, and it's something that is not just easily blown by the wind. It's not something you can easily blow over your head. It's something that you have to actually sit and think about, okay, how can I take a protocol to overcome this disorder because I'm not feeling okay right now. What exactly is the medical definition of anxiety? So there are multiple anxiety disorders. A generalized anxiety disorder is going to be involving a persistent feeling of anxiety or dread, which again can interfere with daily life. And then you also have panic disorders. So people with panic disorders have frequent and unexpected panic attacks. And basically, a panic attack is a sudden period of intense fear, discomfort, or even like a sense of losing control when there's no clear direction of danger or a certain trigger. Not everyone who experiences a panic attack will develop a panic disorder. Panic attacks, people have them and they don't have to be persistent, but a lot of times they are. And I would say that's when you know it's actually something serious and something that you need to seek medical help for. There are also just social anxiety disorders. So social anxiety disorder is an intense, again, persistent feeling of fear of which you're being watched and judged by others. So people with this disorder have the fear of social situations. It may feel so intense that it actually seems beyond their control. And then you also have phobia. So this one I don't have as much experience in, but a phobia-related disorder is basically an intense fear or aversion to specific objects or situations. Although it can be realistic to be anxious in some circumstances, the fear people with phobias feel is out of proportion to the actual danger caused by the certain situation or object. So personally, I've struggled and still continue to struggle with three of these: a generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, and social anxiety. Again, it's gotten so much better. So you guys don't be like, oh, this is not meant to make you feel pity or any certain type of way. I actually hate that. I never want anyone to feel bad for me. I'm doing so much better. But this could really help you. And again, all bringing it back to the fitness realm, which is why I do what I do. So this definitely affects, you know, my daily life and affected it much more in the past. It was hard for me to show up for my clients. It was hard for me to show up for work. It was hard for me to be in social situations. Even to be around my family was difficult because I was honestly just feeling so anxious about the slightest things. So statistics show that 1 in 5 Americans over 18 and 1 in 3 teenagers ages 13 to 18 years old experience chronic anxiety. In today's society, I feel that mental health problems, including anxiety, are at an all-time high. And I think a lot of this comes from just like the generation that we are in right now. I think it's such of a social media generation. I think in certain parts of the world, it's definitely more prominent and more persistent. But I think mental health is such a big problem now that we've got to find certain things that can help with this. And, you know, the next question I ask is, well, how can exercising on a regular basis help with anxiety? And again, from personal experience and from the changes I've seen within my clients, the changes I've seen within my friends, within my relationships, my family, just from exercising on a regular basis, it's extremely mind-blowing. But according to research, so a very well-known medical doctor, his name was John J. Rady, he says this: as a psychiatrist who studies the effects of exercise on the brain, I've not only seen the science, but I've witnessed firsthand how physical activity affects my patients. Research shows that aerobic exercise is especially helpful. Aerobic exercise is any cardiovascular cardio. Examples would include, you know, walking, jogging, swimming, cycling, etc. Cardiovascular exercise is exercise in which you help your heart and lungs. Aerobic exercise means with oxygen, for those of you who don't know that. So exercises like these, again, the walking, the jogging, the swimming, the cycling, even dancing, you know, even I would say like yard work, like daily activities, just moving your body that you're actually getting your heart rate up. Exercises like these help with chronic anxiety because maybe you're feeling anxious about an important meeting. Maybe it's just a specific conversation. Maybe it's a test or a big event. Aerobic exercise can truly be a game changer. I mean, I'll use it as an example this morning. You know, I wake up and I still have these anxious feelings today. I was just kind of stressed. I have a lot of important things going on with work. I'm also just, you know, I'm in a situation in life to where, you know, I'm missing my family extra, you know, and sometimes it makes me feel anxious being in a big old city. So I was kind of feeling anxious. I was like, let me just go do my cardio. You know, I wake up first thing in the morning, I get on that elliptical, I put on my music, and I just like jam out, enjoy the vibe, and I'm just like not really focused on anything but doing my cardio. And automatically, you know, 20 minutes later, I'm already feeling the stress, this sense of overwhelm and anxious thoughts kind of go through my body. And I was like, wow, this is so crazy, just because I plan to talk about this on the podcast today. So that's just one prime example. But as far as actually easing anxious thoughts, exercising actually diverts you from the one thing or the thought in your mind that's making you feel anxious. So exercising in your body, getting proper blood flow, decreases muscle tension, which is going to lower the body's anxious feelings. So when your heart rate, for example, again, jogging or walking, is up, is elevated, it actually changes the chemistry within your brain. To break this down, what happens is your availability of anti-anxiety neurochemicals such as serotonin. Serotonin is what controls your mood. Also, gamma aminobutyric acid, which is also commonly referred to as GABA, that's the acronym, which is basically a neurotransmitter that helps promote a calming effect. You also have something called BDFN, which is responsible for your cognitive function. And you also have endocannabinoids, which is a system in the body that helps regulate and balance vital functions of the body, such as energy balance, blood pressure, and appetite. So exercising on a regular basis activates frontal regions of the brain, and these areas are basically crucial for a system in our brain called the amygdala, the reacting system to imagine a real threat of survival. When you move your body, it helps you build resilience to maybe negative emotions or bad thoughts, etc. So all this being said, if you struggle with anxiety, the research shows that exercise can drastically change the way that you feel mentally and emotionally. So next time you're feeling anxious, get outside and simply just go for a walk. The next one that I want to talk about is depression. And I would say depression, among the three that I'm going to talk about, to me definitely is the worst. So Again, we all go through things in life that make us feel sad. I think that's totally normal. You know, your dog dies, that sucks. You're going to be crying. You know, you're in a breakup, you get really sad, that's normal. You know, you move to a new city, you miss your family, you're sad, that's normal. You know, but when you're in a constant state of sadness to where it actually affects everything that you do, again, that's when you know there's a problem and you got to try to do something to help you with that condition. So in medical terms, depression is described as a mental health disorder characterized by persistently feeling depressed, mood, or loss of interest in activities, causing significant impairment in daily life. So there are over 3 million cases of depression each year worldwide. The relentless feeling of sadness or loss of interest often leads to a range of behavioral and physical symptoms. So you may have changes in energy levels. You may have changes in your self-esteem, your appetite, maybe your sleep, maybe just like your overall cognitive function. Like it becomes hard for you to do everyday tasks that seem easy. Maybe you're even having suicidal thoughts if it's a really severe case. And there's honestly so many more things. So, you know, as mentioned earlier, exercising alone is not going to solve these issues by any means, but it can significantly have the power to make you feel at least 1% better to a degree, which if you're feeling depressed, even 1% better of relief is going to make you at least a little bit happier. So I want to start by giving you one example from my personal experience on how exercising on a regular basis can actually help with depression. So when you feel depressed, You don't really feel like doing anything because literally everything is a chore. So putting on your shoes is hard. Brushing your teeth is difficult. Having a simple conversation is the last thing you want to bring yourself to do. It's like the smallest of tasks, like they just take so much energy. They take so much effort and you'd rather just not. And there is a difference between being lazy and not wanting to make your bed and actually not wanting to get up out of your bed because you're clinically depressed. So make sure, again, you're not using depression as a crutch because that's the last thing you should do. But again, there's a big difference. I just want to make that clear. With all of this being said, it comes down to it gets hard to take care of yourself, especially if you're alone. It gets hard to take care of yourself because you don't really give a shit about your hair or your teeth or your clothes. You don't really give a shit about anything, including yourself. I mean, you feel unworthy. You think, why even bother taking care of myself? Because nothing really matters. So making a promise to yourself to actually exercise daily is crucial if you want to feel better because it forces you to get up out of bed and take care of yourself in some way because we know that exercising on a regular basis is going to make you look better and it's going to make you feel better, right? So I think the key here is finding some type of exercise that you generally enjoy to do. So for me, being a bodybuilder, I love strength training. Lifting weights is my passion. Moving my body makes me feel better. And doing something for myself makes me feel good, you know? So in this tough time, it also forced me to be in an environment which I was forced to be around people instead of sitting in isolation with some really terrible thoughts. So being around people that lift you up, forcing yourself to get out of bed and doing something that you know is going to benefit you is going to help you feel a little bit less depressed, even if it's only for that 1 hour out of the day. And you never know who you might see at the gym that really does boost your spirits or helps you through a workout, or maybe you have, you know, a personal trainer or a coach who helps you as well. So, you know, moving into the scientific side of things, I want to discuss with you guys what exercising actually does for your brain. Similarly to anxiety, regular exercise may ease depression and anxiety by releasing feel-good endorphins. Endorphins are natural brain chemicals that improve your sense of well-being. This takes your mind off of worries, negativity, and more. Studies show that exercise supports nerve cell growth in the hippocampus, which is a very complex brain structure that plays an extensive role in memory and learning. This improves nerve cell connections, which are basically like one cell talking to another. So your cells are having a conversation, right? They're like, what's up? You know, this cell, how you doing? Make sure we're okay. And yada, yada, yada. So your brain forms neural circuits that regulate your behavior and your skill set. When the nerve cells communicate well, it can help relieve depression. I thought the research behind this was just so fascinating. Point 3 I want to go into is OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder. And again, I want to start off the difference between, okay, I have obsessive compulsive disorder, this actual condition, and okay, I just like things a certain way, because we're all kind of picky. We're all selfish to an extent. So it's pretty normal to like things a certain way. Having a passion about something is completely normal. Thinking about something that is important to you constantly is great. But when it starts to literally become an obsession, it's not normal. It's not okay. And it affects the way that you show up for yourself and show up for others. In psychological terms, OCD is a long-lasting disorder in which a person experiences uncontrollable, reoccurring thoughts, obsessions, engages in repetitive behaviors, compulsions, or even both. People with OCD have time-consuming symptoms that can cause significant distress or interfere with daily life. And I'm going to give you guys a couple examples. So this could be a person who fears maybe contamination with certain germs, and they might wash their hands, you know, every 5 minutes. They're repeatedly washing their hands. Personally, I struggle with like avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, among, you know, a couple other things. So it can be really different. And I would say certain cases can be mild to severe. I would say for me, this was, I try to like say it was mild, but it was pretty severe. I ain't even gonna lie. So you may ask yourself, well, how does exercising even relate to these conditions? How could possibly strength training, how could running, how could swimming, how could dancing, how could Pilates help with this? Well, scientists say that when your body is in an active state, your mind releases those feel-good chemicals, as we spoke about earlier in relation to anxiety and depression. Exercise is a natural stress reliever in which endorphins are let out and can elevate your mood and reduce discomfort. Exercising is not a magic fix for OCD or any other mental health conditions, but it can definitely help as long as you're not using it as a compulsion. You can't use exercise as a compulsion, in which I've also definitely done that in the past, and try not to let that affect me anymore. So, and I'll give you guys an example of how exercise can turn into a compulsion, just so you know what I mean. In the past, whenever I was really upset, I was really anxious about something, or I was really mad about something, I would basically kill myself in the gym, to the point to where my body, not my muscles, my bones, my joints, my ligaments, were literally just in an extreme amount of pain. To go into more detail, so after my first show as a bikini competitor, my first national show, that is, I ended up getting second callouts, which I deserve second callouts. I wasn't at the caliber that some of the top athletes were at. But at the time, I was so disappointed by that event that I actually, first off, I canceled my entire trip, which I really regret doing. I planned a trip to Orlando. That's where the show was, and I planned a vacation after. I called, and even though I barely get to see my family, I called the, you know, plane organization, whatever you would call it, and I canceled my flight. I booked another flight home. I wasted money. I wasted time. I went back home, and I just kind of sat in my sadness. But otherwise than that, what I did in the gym was, after my show, instead of like a normal person celebrating, having a nutrient dense meal, going out with my family who was all there to support me, I had a couple friends there at the time too, celebrating with my coach who had worked so hard to get me where I wanted to be. As soon as I got done with that show, I think we got finished like in the afternoon, I went back to my Airbnb. I cooked a pre-workout meal that was extremely healthy. I made my pre-workout drink. I went to the gym and I went crazy. I did every exercise pretty much. I did legs, I did shoulders, I did back, I did triceps, I did biceps, I did core, I did HIIT, I did cardio, I did everything I could possibly do. I practiced my posing. And you have to understand, when you're straight out of a show, your body is very depleted. This was extremely unhealthy for me to do on the psychological side of things and on the physical side of things, because I was super dehydrated. I hadn't been drinking a lot of water that day because I was trying to get my body to look a certain type of way. I didn't sleep like at all the night before because I had my makeup at like 3 a.m. and we ended up going to bed at like 10. So, you know, it ends up that's what, you know, maybe 4 or 5 hours of sleep. I was not eating much that day because I was trying to keep my waistline small. I was eating mostly carbohydrates and a little bit of fat, like no protein. It was just basically all the worst scenarios. So I went to the gym and I practically killed myself. And I made my brother take a million posing videos of me after. Thank you for that, Brayden. I really appreciate it. But that was so dumb. Like, if I could go back, I definitely would not be in that situation again. But that's what I mean by exercising becoming an obsession, which you never want to do. Moving away from that standpoint, again, just wanted to give you an example. There is some very interesting research linked to exercise and OCD. So I want to give you guys a case study that I found. So there was a study a couple years ago that I found to conduct a randomized controlled trial testing the effectiveness of exercise for decreasing OCD symptoms. In this case, 56 patients were supervised and performing 12 weeks of supervised aerobic exercise with moderate intensity. And after the experiment, patients showed significant reduction of OCD symptoms along with improved fitness overall and cardiovascular health. This is amazing because it shows you that exercising truly does have the ability to help you with that obsessive compulsive disorder. Again, because of the released chemicals that make you feel good within your brain. You feel less stressed, you feel less worried, you feel better endorphins, you feel a more elevated mood. So this all brings me to the point, being said, it's obvious that mental health and exercise go hand in hand. If you or anyone you know is struggling with mental health, please listen to this podcast or share it with the one who is battling this tough fight. And I just want to say, you are not alone, anyone struggling with mental health. You are important. Please know that you are worthy. You are valued. You are so loved. Keep your faith and choose to show up. Even when you feel like you can't take another step, choose to get to the gym, to do some strength training, choose to get to your dance studio, to move your body, choose to get to that cycling class and do some cycling, choose to hop on that treadmill and walk for 5 minutes, choose to do something that you know is going to make you feel better physically and mentally. There is no super quick fix to any mental condition, but from personal experience and clearly with the research that we've gone over, just practicing exercise can have the power to help you tremendously. I know this podcast was a little bit more hard to hear and a little bit more serious, but let's hop out of that. I want to thank you guys for listening. It means a lot to me. If you could, please rate and review this episode. The reason these rating reviews are important are because, yes, it helps the podcast grow, and that's what we want to do here on Curls and Courage, but also it helps me know what you guys would like for me to see next. So if there's anything you want me to talk about, please shoot me a message on Instagram, or if you're interested in one-on-one coaching, feeling better, you need an exercise routine, you can visit kensleymeeks.com. It's KENSLEYMEEKS.com, and reach out to me with an inquiry. Or just get in contact with me. You want to chat. You want to talk. I would love to be a friend to you guys. I would love to be a coach to you guys. Or just a person in your life who can help you with something that you're struggling with. Before we end this podcast, as always, I want to play a voice note from an audience member. This is one of my friends, Mallory. We were close in the past. I've known her since we were practically babies. Let's see what you have to say, Mallory, and I will give you my very best answer.
Hey, Kinsley. The question that I had was about motivation on working on fitness. That's something I struggle with, being motivated to work on my physical health. It's hard for me to get up and go to the gym and do things like that or diet. But so how do I find that motivation to start, I guess? Because once I get started, it's a little bit easier. But I struggle finding the motivation to start. So if you have any tips or tricks for that, that would be awesome. Thanks.
Babe, thank you so much for this question. It's always so good to hear from you. So I actually just released an episode on lack of motivation and how you can overcome that. I believe it was episode 6, a podcast that I had. So definitely check out that episode for further detail. We cover a lot of the topics you just spoke about. But just in a short answer, I would say motivation is really going to come and go. you can't always rely on motivation, especially if you're someone who doesn't have a passion for fitness. You have to rely more on self-discipline. So reframe your mindset. Don't think about how can I feel motivated. Think about how can I be more self-disciplined, right? And being self-disciplined requires you to get up. You need to tell yourself, all right, I need to get to the gym at this time. I need to get this done. Maybe you have an accountability partner. Maybe you have a coach. Maybe you have a trainer who can push you to that extent. But you have to think about the word self-discipline. I would say number two, just again, seek support from others. And this kind of goes back to what I just was mentioning earlier. If you know you struggle with motivation, I know you have an amazing husband now. So maybe ask him, hey, you know, I really want to make sure I'm going to the gym 3 days a week. Make sure that I do this. If it's someone who loves you and cares about you, he can definitely help you in that way. You can also, again, reach out to someone who is a profession in that industry. So reach out to someone who can give you an exercise plan, who can give you the knowledge, who can give you the accountability and make sure that you show up. I feel like a lot of times if you are paying for a service, you're more likely to do it because we all work hard for our money. And then I would say lastly, surround yourself in an uplifting environment. So maybe you have a gym that you really like to go to and you know that you have a really good friend who works there and you feel like the people are very kind and make you feel loved at the gym and they greet you with a smile. I would say definitely to put yourself in that environment. Or again, you're just wanting to be more active. You're wanting to have a better diet. I know you said too. So make sure you're not surrounding yourself with people who are wanting to go out and drink all the time or friends that you have and all they want to go is go out to eat. Maybe hang around more with the people who suggest, like, would you like to go to the gym with me, for example, or would you like to go for a walk, or would you like to go see a movie? Like, it doesn't always have to be a social situation around food, which I feel like in today's society, a lot of people do. Not that it's a bad thing to enjoy life and go out to eat and go whatever, have a drink, but when it's every single night, it does become an issue. So I hope this helps you, Mallory. I hope that you're doing well. Wishing you so much love as always. And again, I'd like to thank you guys so much for listening. Please be sure to tune into the next podcast. Ask me any questions. I am trying to be more of an open book, although it's hard for me, but I'm really excited to help you guys with your physical and mental health journey. Again, you can reach out to me through social media, or you can always send a voice note with anything that you would like to talk about next. Praying that you guys have a day full of so many blessings, good physical and mental health, and just happiness and positivity and good vibes. Overall, you know what the deal is, baby. You guys have a wonderful rest of your week, and I will talk to you next Thursday on the Curls and Courage podcast.